welcome to the Northview Church and to Fixer Upper. You know, this is really exciting to see all this come together. And I had the privilege earlier this year to go to Waco, Texas, actually. Two young women surprised their mother on their 60th birthday. Hint, hint. And I was honored to be a part of that surprise, and I had no idea where I was going, but I had no idea what was in store for me. The place at Magnolia, there's something really special about it. And, you know, Chip and JoJo, they've got a little something special going on, and I think God's really blessing their sincerity, their purity, their honesty, that just the genuineness. It just showed through everything that we saw. And it's really hard to explain it, but our creative design team pulled it off. I mean, it is just, it really, they've done such a good job of capturing all the specialness. And so, you know, we have, that's a photo op opportunity out in the foyer. That's what that's made for. So be sure to take some pictures and just enjoy the day. You know, The good news is, God's. We're all fixer-uppers, right? We are all fixer-uppers, and God's in the fixing business. God's in the building business. God's in the rebuilding business. He's in the rehab business. Who likes to repurpose in here? I love to repurpose, especially paper. It's my thing. Well, God, that's what he does. He repurposes our lives when we put our trust in him and we follow him. And I just love that. You know, I have a really special treat. We have a few surprises today. Can't talk about them. I promise one of them will be hot coffee if we figure that problem out. But I have the opportunity here to introduce our guest speaker. And what I did was I texted up her husband. Nobody calls anybody anymore, right? And I said, how about if you write it for me? So this is from Angel Maldonado, and this is his note to his dear wife. And when we're finished, you'll come up and take the podium, okay? So I'm going to cry already because I know what I'm going to read. Christina Maldonado has been a disciple of Christ for 17 years. She was baptized as a student at Florida State University. Go Noles. Christina met me in marketing class and introduced me to her church and her God. And we've been married for 13 wonderful years. We have two beautiful daughters who are 7 and 3 years old. Christina had a successful career working as an event manager for Bank of America. And she gave that up to serve the church in the full-time ministry. As a woman's ministry leader for the Path Church, she has a deep passion to help women fall in love with Jesus and help them to have an impact in their church and in their communities. Christina speaks at events and conferences around the country and the Caribbean. Her latest ventures in the world of health and fitness, as a group instructor at LA Fitness, she uses that platform to connect and influence women by helping them to improve physically and spiritually. Her greatest impact has been felt in her own family, as she has helped me baptize my mom, my grandmother, my aunt, my brother, my adopted brother and his wife, her cousin, and earlier this year, her dad, Van Dyke Walker, was baptized into Christ. Of her, the scripture rings true. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her from Proverbs 31:28, and he says, you go, my love.
Well, well, thank you for encouraging me through my husband. He told me he was working on his sermon. I did not know he was putting that together, but amen. I'm going to try to compose myself now, but I am so excited to be here at Northview with the women. Yes! If anybody knows me, I love when the women get a chance to get together. I love being with the men. They're awesome. Yay, we love to hear you preach. You're awesome. But when the women get together, and we love our children, but we have no children, you know, if they're little with us, and we can, like, commune and not, like, burp and talk at the same time, and oh, yeah, it's just nice to have that time together. And I love this church. Northview has been a refuge for the PATH church in some difficult times, and you guys have also just been such a breath of fresh air. So I am so grateful and honored and humbled to be able to spend time with you guys. If I couldn't love you more, then you pick a theme that is near and dear to my heart for this event. I get to what y'all are making me want to visit Waco, Texas, for real. Because I walk in, like, have you heard of Fixer Upper? I'm like, have I heard of Fixer Upper? Joanna is my girl. Have you been to my house? I am trying to imitate, you know, I'm on a budget, but I'm trying to imitate her in my home. So it was such a treat to hear that this was your theme. For those of you who have not heard of Fixer Upper, don't be alarmed. I have a short video to give you a great overview so you can come into Waco with us.
The idea of a fixer-upper, I think, to a lot of people is a dumpy little house with a $20,000 budget.
We really want to twist that. We want to turn that on its ear. For us, we've just always loved and admired old houses. You know, the people that put these together were craftsmen.
The before is typically this rundown house that looks haunted. For just a normal couple walking in, I just think it's terrifying. I could see why this house sat on the market. It doesn't scare us off. We'll walk you through this house. We'll walk you through the construction. And then welcome home.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
I knew when I married the guy this was going to be an adventurous life. And it has not been boring yet.
I'm finally maturing.
But I think that's what we all love about you, Chip, is that you're so not mature.
High five.
Be careful.
Hello, watch out. Next time, use the horn when it's falling down.
He's got this energy like an 8-year-old boy.
Back scratching. Babe, I need you to grow up.
I have a 2-week-old baby. I go to the grocery store and I come home and the car seat's bungee corded to the 4-wheeler. This is my life. Just getting used to what is Chip gonna do next.
I've always been a kid at heart. Mom's always said I've got a Peter Pan syndrome. Being a parent really grows you up a little bit. It makes you mature. Our 4 babies, when you watch them, it marked me.
That's what keeps things interesting around here. And I think that's what makes him such a great dad.
I just enjoy watching these kids grow up, and I enjoy watching you. And
I love you.
I love you too. I love it when JoJo walks into a room.
Cute. Why wouldn't I walk into a room?
Because you're just the most beautiful woman in the room, you know?
Cute.
I think that you make this a fun place.
Sweet.
How can you not love Chip and Joanna? Are they not the cutest thing ever? And she's super talented, but I love their hearts because basically they find, what did they say, the worst home in the best neighborhood that everybody is scared of. They go in, they give the clients vision for their homes, or they're flippers as well. So they'll do their own homes, and they'll kind of make these masterpieces for people to live in. You know, I was really inspired by this show. I was like, honey, I've got our plan for when we move. I am going to find the worst house in the best neighborhood, and I am going to renovate. And I was really excited about that until I had to finish my basement in my current home. And there was, like, dust everywhere. I was like, this is too much going on. So this is what we're going to do, honey. We're going to buy a place, and we're still going to live here. And then we're just going to be paying 2 mortgages, and we're going to figure it out, honey. The people on TV do it. We can do it, too. But, of course, that did not happen, right? But thankfully, God allowed us to move into a place that I only needed paint and light fixtures and stuff and furniture. I didn't have to knock down any walls, so that was good. But I love the theme because this is how we can feel. We can feel like these old homes, right? Like in the midst of, like, next to these beautiful homes, and we can kind of feel like, you know, I'm beyond repair. Who's going to want to repair me? You know, I'm broken down. Like, look at what's next to me. It's a sea of beauty. And what you don't realize even about this picture is this is the same house. It's just been renovated. And so it's having that opportunity and making the most of the opportunity to allow yourselves to be renovated. You know, sometimes the houses that they pick are actually kind of decent on the outside. They don't look like fixer-uppers, but then when you get in the inside, it's like a whole entire mess. There's trash everywhere. You know, it's a hot mess. And I feel like, you know, I can relate a little bit to that type of person. But kind of the question becomes, well, how did the house get that way? So where somebody completely did not take care of the inside. And then you look at your own life and you say, well, how did I get that way? To where I'm a hot mess on the outside, but I can kind of pretty it up when I go out and I look a little decent on the inside or on the outside. You know, Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Isn't that true? I'm like, God, why did you allow me to end up with that bum? That is your fault. God's like, I didn't tell you to go out with him. I'm not talking about my husband, by the way. I don't want anything to get back to him. This is pre-him, pre-Jesus. Why did I end up with a bum like that? God said, you made those decisions. Just like those houses did not trash themselves. Somebody decided that they were going to go ham in the house or not maintain the house, and thus now it needs repair. Now it needs renovation. And you can try to patch up something that needs to be renovated, but that doesn't last. It's only a patch job. You know, Psalm 127, verse 1 through 2, is kind of the theme for today. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Who here likes to waste time? I know I don't. Does anybody like to waste money? What about hard work? No, right? But that's exactly what we do when we try to patch ourselves up with anything but God. When we try to renovate ourselves with anything but God, we end up wasting time, money, and hard work. Who wants to do that? I know I don't. You know, it doesn't even get you where you want to go. A lot of times, it can make you worse off than when you first started. So, what are some of the ways that God can fix us up? How does he renovate us? Let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. The first thing I think we need to do to allow God to fix us up is to get honest. You know, more and more as I started to read the Bible, I realized that there was something that the people of God had in common when they allowed God to work in their lives. It was their honesty about their lives, about who they were. You know, they were open to the mistakes that they've made. They weren't trying to hide from them. You know, why don't we get honest? Why don't we get vulnerable? Why is that not a part of our character? Why do we actually run the other way when vulnerability is just ahead? You know, it's uncomfortable, right? We're not used to it. Some of us are very privileged to grow up in environments where vulnerability is encouraged. My husband and his family are Puerto Rican. Something in that culture is like, we're going to talk about everything. Yes, and I love that. I met my husband's mom the day he got baptized. Hello, my name is Olga Bird. I'm so happy to meet you. I've been praying for a woman to come into my son's life, Mama. I am so grateful to meet you. Let me tell you about my first husband. So my first husband did this. Let me tell you about, can you come to the hotel where I'm staying, Mama? I have so much more to tell you. I was like, oh my gosh. But for the other percentage of us that did not grow up in that household, vulnerability is tough. And I love to be able to go into the Bible and look at stories that can help encourage me about what it looks like and how to get open. So we are going to look at one of my favorite women in the Bible. We're going to look in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. We're going to look at the woman who was bleeding. So I'm going to start here. I'm reading in the NLT version. Says Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." I love this story. First of all, you got a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. How many like that once a month time that you have to sacrifice 5 or 7 days? Menopausal women, we can't wait to get there. But for the rest of us, that is... I know you have to go through stuff to get there, but she had been bleeding for 12 years. She spent everything she had to try to get better. Can you imagine the frustration with that? You know, I'm sure there were many promises and hopes that each time, each solution would work. What did her efforts produce? The Bible says she got worse. I can really relate to this woman. I was raised right here in Roswell, in Alpharetta. I went to Milton High School. Whoop, whoop. I was around when they built North Point Mall. You see all those stores? They weren't there before, okay? My parents divorced when I was pretty young. My father moved to California. And really, since then, has never really, like, you know, our relationship is very one-sided. Like, I kind of give, and he kind of does his own thing. But I was raised by my mother to be successful and to be corporate America, and to be a good person, and I'm very grateful for that she brought me to school, to church, and, you know, kind of kept me on a path, but at the same time was very deceitful. So I was one of those, like, yes, I'm making great grades, but you don't know what I'm doing after school, or on the weekends, or late at night, or sneaking into my house. So, and then it got worse when I got to college. I started making all these bad decisions, hanging out with the wrong people, and I really found myself in a place where I'm like, how did I end up here? Where I'm making these decisions over and over again, and I can't stop. You know, how did I end up with the bums? You know, I thought I was going to be with dudes on the cover of GQ, okay? And instead, I ended up with drug dealers. Like, what is happening, right? That's what happens when Christina, then Ruffin, makes decisions. I remember the first time I got introduced to ecstasy. My sister was like, "If you love me, you'll take it. You know, it's not a big deal." And I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, oh my goodness, I do drugs. Like, when did this happen? This was not supposed to be on the path." You know, I thought I was headed for success, but I was actually bleeding and getting worse. Even if the people around me were encouraging me to do it. And I was headed down a dangerous path. You know, what about you today? Can you relate to this woman? Are you trying to stop the bleeding with things other than Jesus? Be honest. You don't have to put up a front for anybody. This is about you and God, your relationship with God. You know, some of us at one point as well allow Jesus to stop our bleeding, but we've kind of gone back to those things like that we used to before. And it's like, when did Jesus kind of stop being enough? You know, as you get older, your bleeding takes on new forms, or your escapes take on new forms. Maybe before it was guys, you know, but maybe now you're married and your escape is career. Or, you know, diving into just life with kids and forgetting about your relationship with God. overall, it can be our own agenda. You know, God, I have served you well. Now it's my turn, right? Or God, I'll give you this percentage of my day, but you can't have the whole thing. You know, there's a saying that I kind of have started to love. It says, when you chase anything but Jesus, you'll never win. And isn't that so true? But you feel like you start on the race of, this is what's going to make me happy, this is what's going to make me whole, and yet you wind up feeling worse and worse each time. Even if there are times where you feel like you have victories, it somehow ends up always going downhill. You know, some of us have to learn this the hard way. Like, I love how it talks about how she, you know, kind of exhausted all her options. Some of us are at that point where we've exhausted all our options, but we still being stubborn. We're like, I don't know if I want you to renovate me, you know? Some of us still have other options. I hear you, but I got like these three other options right here, so I may want to try those, you know? But it's like, how many times do you have to touch the stove before you realize it will burn you? You know, you have to open up about your thoughts, your past actions, your fears. You know, what, you know, I was thinking about, you know, every season and culture I feel like has a challenge. And so I'm like, well, what makes it hard in this day and age, in this challenging time? And I feel like it's the women competition. I feel like we compare ourselves so much. Like, it's all, I mean, even with our friends, we're comparing about what you got going on and what I got going on and social media, who had the most likes and who's got the best pictures and, you know, who's got the best poses. Like, literally taking a picture now used to be like, yay, and now it's like, everybody's kind of like, God, there, even my daughter, like, it's like outshining me. I'm like, dang, you know? And it doesn't stop for the young folks. I think even with as a mom, I'm like, well, you know, what program is your child a part of? And what were the grades? And academic soccer, and, you know, it's like academic, Lord, academy soccer. But there's so many, what school do they go to? You know, there's so many comparisons out there. And it's like everyone has their own race. Cheer them on and run your own. You know, if we could kind of focus on our own races and not comparing ourselves, I feel like we would get further in this generation. You know, vulnerability was really hard for me. Growing up, we kind of, you know, you figured it. If you had an issue, you go to your room, you figure it out, and then you come back like nothing ever happened. So, you know, when I started to, you know, come to a church and I started to do personal Bible studies, they were like, well, how do you feel about this? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean? You know, I just had never, you know, been involved with people kind of looking at me and asking me how I felt about things. Then I married a Puerto Rican, okay? I told you about his mama. He's a little version of his mama, okay? Literally, when we were dating, He sat me down and he said, I feel like I don't know you. And I'm like, I'm sorry, are we not dating? How can you feel like you don't know me? He's like, I feel like I don't know what you struggle with. You know, I just don't feel like you talk to me about what's going on with you, you know. Then I remember even, like, God has a way of doing things. So I had those experiences. And then I remember a sister, one of my closest friends now, Daphne, you know, she was kind of going off one day about something going on. You know how you just kind of rant, you know, when you're going off about something. And she's like, and you don't even talk. You don't even get open. You're not vulnerable about what's going on with you. And I'm like, how we just make a left here? And like, you know, years later, she apologized for it. But to be honest, I needed to hear that. I needed to be convicted about that. You know, 17 years later, it's the same thing. You know, we can't lose this as the longer you're a Christian. It should actually be the opposite. We should be more open about what's going on with us. You know, 1 John chapter 1 talks about if we claim to have no sin, we're fooling ourselves, right? We're not living in the truth. If we claim we have not sinned, we're making God out to be a liar. You have feelings, things, thoughts, emotions, fears, sins, all of that going on. Be honest. Be open. Talk about it. And that's kind of the next thing I think that would be helpful is to get help, right? So when we want to get help with something, is it weird or is it me or do we go everywhere but Jesus for help? Is he like a last resort? Yeah, like, or that maybe that's just me. I don't know why I do that. I feel like I know I'm right with it, too. Like, well, I have all of these options that I'm going to use. I'll say a little prayer about it, you know, but I'm going to, you know, kind of try to figure this out. And we don't go to the source for help. One of my favorite scriptures this year, Psalm 25, verse 4 through 5, it says, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you." And don't you realize that the longer you get to know God is that he is like the one true place that you can put your hope in? Like, as much as we love the people that are around us and the people that love us, and like, God is the only person we can put our hope in. But in order for God to lead us and in order for us to get help, we're going to have a humble heart. Ooh! We're going to have a learner's heart. Ooh, right? We're going to have to say, God, I need you to teach me about life. I need you to teach me how to raise my kids. I need you to teach me how to talk. I need you to teach me how to walk. I need you to teach me what to wear. I need you to teach me. I feel like God has been teaching me. I've been a disciple 17 years. I feel like I'm still learning how to be a friend. I feel like I'm still learning how to love people. I feel like I'm still learning how to be patient with people. I thought I was patient and I had kids. Two of them. I'm so impatient. God, I need your help. I love this woman, but because of her condition, she had poor health. She was considered unclean. She could not participate in normal life in the community. She was alone. But she did not stay alone. She went and she got help. Have any of you ever felt alone? I know I have. Even with the number of friends and associates that you can have, sometimes you can still feel very alone. You know, sometimes one of the reasons we're feeling alone is because we've never made ourselves known to people. You know, we kind of, again, skip that first step of being honest, and people know the person that we present, but they don't really know who we are, right? And God as well. God knows us. I don't know why we try to front with him, but we even try to front when it comes to God. You know, for me, when I started to come to church, you know, someone asked me if I would like to start doing Bible studies, and I was polite. So I was like, sure, no problem. I'll come to your little Bible study that you have going on, you know. And so then we started looking at those, you know, at the scriptures as I had mentioned, and they were asking me how I felt about them. And I was like, well, you know, that's what that scripture means. Yeah. And they were like, well, what does it look like for your life? You know, what would it look like for you to put into practice living in the light, making Jesus Lord of your time, letting him govern your relationships, the men that you choose? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, it just got real. And I think I learned how much I didn't know, you know, how much I needed help. And that made me a little nervous, but it's also that vulnerable place where God can kind of start the renovation. Thank you. You finally saw that your parts are hanging all over the place and that you need some help and restoration. You know, do you have these people in your life that can help you? You know, are you allowing people in your life to help you? God has always kind of put those people in my life that, like, even if I didn't want them there, he'll, like, plop them there, right? And, you know, sometimes we just want to, like, give people the stiff arm. But that's the very help, life raft, encourager, supporter, you know, person that's going to tell you the truth that you needed. And don't push them away. You know, some of us at one point, we had those people, but now we're really too busy for them. You know, we have life going on, and, you know, that we kind of get help very few and far between, or if there's, like, a fire we need to get put out. And so I feel like we kind of still got to have that same heart of, I need help. You know, I'm living this life one day at a time. No season you're ever in, you've been in before. So we constantly need to get help. Even when they tell us things we do not want to hear, right? We need to go back and pray and trust God. One of my favorite scriptures in Proverbs says, "Plans come to ruin by lack of counsel, but many advisors make victory sure." If you want to have some victories, Have some advisors around you. You know, for me, just starting out, my help was, well, what does it look like to follow God? You know, I had come from many churches. I was Presbyterian, I was Baptist, I was like all over the place. So I'm like, they all have different doctrines. Are they all right? I mean, I did the altar call over here. I got sprinkled over here. Am I good? You know what I mean? So for me, just starting out, I needed the help with, I just, you know, want to make sure I'm right, I guess, in the eyes of God. You know, then I got married and people were like, oh, you don't need help anymore. You're married now. I was like, I live with a man now. I need your help. I've got parents who have had 9 marriages between the two of them. They are on wife number 5 and husband number 4. Trust me, girls, I need help, right? Now I need now more. Yeah, woo, okay? Now, you know, so now I need more help than ever. I've got 2 kids. You know, I'm in the ministry, okay? When you're on stage, it can be less likely to get help, right? But it's like, no, I need more help now. Sometimes I have to help the sisters, like, I'll get open. They'll be like, oh, wow, amen, so da-da-da. I'm like, no, do you have a scripture? I have to, like, help people help me, you know what I mean? So I could be in the background and just serving people, but I'm trying to make it to heaven too, okay? And I got the same struggles, and we all need to help each other, right? If we're too busy and too tired to get help, we're too busy. These are our lives we're talking about. This is our future. This is our eternity we're talking about. You know, right now too in this culture, we've got this sense of like independence that we have going on, and we don't do it on purpose, you know, like, no, I need help. When's the last time you asked for it? I mean, it's been a long time, but I know I need it, you know? And it's like we're kind of really independent. And so we've kind of adopted this like phrase at the church of just run it by, you know? Run it by. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Just kind of getting back to this culture of getting help with the things going on with us around us. You know, lastly, after we get honest and we get help, we got to get moving. Okay, we got to take action, we got to step out, we got to obey, we got to put what we've learned into practice. You know, with the bleeding woman, she knew she needed help, and she didn't just stay there. She entered the crowd as someone unclean. She was risking ridicule, and she reached out to a rabbi, which was a big no-no. She wasn't even allowed to be anywhere near him, let alone touch him. But, and even with that, she stayed. She could have left when he was like, who touched me? But she trusted Jesus. She was frightened. She was trembling. Yet she stepped out on faith. You are not the only one nervous about obeying the scriptures. You are not the only one nervous about listening to what God says, about trusting God. We are all in the same boat. And yet, look at how God blessed her risk. You know, when's the last time you risked something for Jesus? You know, for me, you know, as I was just starting to learn how to study, or just how to study my Bible, how to follow God, you know, the beginning for me was time. You know, I didn't go to church on a Wednesday or a Thursday. You know, you're lucky if you got me there on a Sunday, you know. So just learning how to make Jesus Lord over my time. Angel shared about my career. I was very focused on corporate America. My mom was an entrepreneur. And so just surrendering that to God, I went to the ministry during the recession. I mean, who does that? You know, my parents were like, are you even getting paid for what you're going to be doing? And I'm like, yes, you know. So I had to, friends, my lifestyle, my future, all things that I had to kind of put before God and say, I trust you with it, you know. Now, my risky time can't just be 17 years ago or 10 years ago. God is still telling me to, you know, take risks and step on faith. You know, even, you know, what I'm learning is you can't follow God and, like, still live the rest of your life like the world, if that makes sense. Like, you're going to have to make a choice. I learned that recently with raising my kids. So I have 2 girls, 7 and 3. Aren't they so cute? Yeah, they so cute. they drive me crazy, but they so cute, right? So Layla's my older one, and she is amazing. I mean, both my kids are sweet. Aria used to be feisty and look at you like you was crazy, and now she's like, I love you, I love you. I mean, so she's awesome. Layla as well is super awesome, but she was having some problems with complaining, okay? It was like we would do something, and she would want to do something else, and she, why can't we do this? And I'm like, you know, patience, okay? I'm teaching, I'm training, I'm trying, and still the same thing. So Angel had an experience, and I'll, you know, anyway, had an experience with it. He was like, that's it, I'm done. Uh-uh. And so I'm like, well, what does that mean, honey, you know? So he called, he gets advice. He's like, when she gets home, we packing up all her stuff in her room, and we're going to put it away. She's not going to have any books. And I'm like, okay, well, what about, you know, her Bible? Nope, no Bible. And I'm like, no Bible? And he's like, well, she needs to learn that it's an honor and privilege to read her Bible. So I'm like, okay, I can understand that. And I'm like, okay, well, her books, because she loves to read. So I'm like, well, you know she has homework. No, she's not doing her homework. I'm like, okay, I'm with you. She needs to learn gratitude. I'm with you. But, you know, no homework? So here I am emailing the teacher, just so you know. She will not be doing her homework this week. And so, you know, she's like, I'm going to have to stay in from recess on Friday and write a report about writing and read. Angel's like, yes, I love it. Then he, you know, she had complained she wanted to play with her friends instead of Family Devo. He said, okay. Tonight, you will not be participating in Family Devo. I will make you a sandwich. You can eat your sandwich while we do Family Devo. Then we're going out to eat. You will sit in the restaurant. You will not be eating, and we will have our family time together. I was like, okay. Then he pulls up to her favorite restaurant, Chili's. And she literally goes, how could you? So she sits there, and we get chips and salsa, and she sat there the whole time. She had to learn how to give, even when she couldn't get what she wanted. And so I was like, honey, that's kind of shady, man. Like, her favorite restaurant, like. So, but I was like, the teacher's going to think I'm crazy. You know, what about if her grades suffer? And, you know, we talked and prayed about it, and we were like, but her character is more important to us than her grades. You know, and we're going to have to continue to make these tough decisions where people are going to think we're crazy, but this is what we're focused on. And obviously, we have a lifelong journey with this gratitude because this is going to be her thing. But after that week, we got to encourage her. You did such a great job with this. You were thoughtful. It was movie time, and she made cards for people instead. Like, we really saw, you know, the transformation. And, of course, my daughter is very smart. So I know probably a percentage of that was, I better be good because if I don't, I'm not going to get this stuff back, right? But she also learned, you know, I don't need all this stuff in my room. You know, I said, well, that's great. Maybe we can give some of it away, you know. But just trusting God. And it was so funny because, you know, I'm like, Miss Woody, I hope, you know, hope she's not going to think we're crazy. And the next week she sends me this picture of Layla pointing to this little thing that she made in class that says, you know, what makes me unique is that I get to spend Family Devo with my family and read my Bible, and it's awesome. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. It's like trusting in God even with that. But there is so much stuff that we say no to that my mom friends say yes to that I'm like, but we got to put God first, or we got to go to church, or, you know, where you just have to, like, trust God, you have this in control. You know, ultimately, God blessed her wrist and her faith, and it made her well. You know, God made me well as well, thankfully. 17 years ago, I decided that I was going to stop being stubborn, that I was going to allow God to do his business and Jesus to set me straight. You know, and what he challenged me with is, if you love me, you'll stop doing some of those things. You know, if you love me, you'll start following me when I do those things. And that's really what I learned about when I started to read my Bible. How do I love God back? You know, he sent his son for me. He's done the ultimate love. How can I love him back? You know, and God gave me a new definition of fun. and an incredible man I don't deserve, and a new definition of success, even if it wasn't corporate success, right? You know, for many of us, God is calling us to step out, allow him to renovate the mess inside of us. But he can only renovate someone that will allow him to renovate them, right? What would it look like if a house that Chip and Joanna were trying to renovate was like, no, stay away, right? That would be awkward. But some of us are like that. We're like, no, God, I don't want you to bend that piece, right? I don't want you to remove that. Back off. And it's like, dude, you're broken. You know, you're falling apart. Your teeth are all out of whack. Like, you look crazy. Let's not be those houses that fight back, right? Mark 2 talks about, Jesus talks about how the fact that healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. You know, that's who he's here for. I'm here for the people that say, you know what, I need help, not the people that say, I have it all together. You know you need help, you get honest. You follow direction. Nobody has to convince you. You know, you really should, you know, put these scriptures into practice. It's like, oh my goodness, I need help. Tell me what I need to do, God. Help me. Show me. Is it going to be scary? Absolutely. But I know I don't want to go back to the things that I was doing. You know, how do we allow God to renovate us back to who we once were, right? Like, how do we become these people that follow God? You know, I think that's one of my favorite parts of the love story with God. It talks about in Genesis 1 that when we were created, the Bible says that God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So when he renovates you, he's not creating something different and a new person that never existed. He's renovating you back to who you were created to be. You know, we ourselves have gotten off the path, but our original path was who we were meant to be. You're not trying to become something you're not meant to be. You're trying to become who you were made to be. And your story can go on to impact others. I love how Jairus was the original guy in the story that asked for help. He was the religious leader, right? And he said, my daughter is dying. Can you come help? Before this bleeding woman kind of interrupted Jesus. Now, what I love about that part is Jairus got to witness this miracle that happened in front of him with the healing of this woman before he needed to have a miraculous faith going back to his home so that Jesus could resurrect his daughter. And I mean, there's so many things with that story, because this is a woman that Jairus would have been told, do not let her in the synagogue. And here her faith was helping him. You know, I just want to encourage us to never give up on people as well that God is working on. You know, I wanted to share a story of a teen that I had helped become a Christian. And she was very near and dear to my heart. But I could tell when she got converted, she had a love and a pull for the world. And ultimately, she ended up going back to the world after she had made Jesus Lord. But what I love about her story, that God was not finished with her yet. And that she was undergoing a renovation process that she was not even aware of. Her focus was, I'm going to learn how I need to be a grown and mature woman, okay? That's what I'm going to focus on. And God was like, oh, that's so cute, okay. Sure, that's what you're learning. And through her learning and working on how to become a grown and mature woman, she realized, I need God to become a grown and mature woman. I need to get back over there and see what's going on with him. And so I love that when she came back, you know, she was a little nervous about, well, how do I get back to the Christian I was before? And we talked about, you're not going back to the Christian you were before. You've had experiences. You're going to supersede that, girl. Like, you're not trying to go back. You're moving forward. All of that was a part of your story. You know, you never know what God is doing in people's lives. Part of the funniest things about these, you know, episodes is, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but like with the first, you know, like the first season, I could understand, you know, nobody knows about these houses that Chip and Joanna could find. But what season are they on? It's like 5. I'm like, nobody else sees these houses to renovate. I mean, I would be making a killing with, like, I'm going to go, and Joanne, which one you pick? Okay, I'm going to go, like, I would think that there were, you know, like, how long were these houses sitting there before people realized this was an opportunity? But with us as people, like, we are those that are charged to go in and find these fixer-uppers, right? As God's people, you see the potential, and you want to help encourage people about them. And what happens is you're showing people who the ultimate renovator is going to be, right? And not, you're not the renovator. I'm not here. They're like, look, Joanna's like, look, I can help design, but, you know, there's another renovator. And so I love how we get the opportunity to really help women know who the true renovator is in our lives. I feel like I was definitely a fixer-upper, but we also get this portion, like this notion of, like, having a home warranty is what I kind of thought of. Like, he's renovated me, but now he's maintaining me until that ultimate day when I get to see him. You know, these are some of the path women this year that have been renovated. We've got some married ladies. It was really encouraging as I was putting this together. I'm like, we've had a lot of married women with their husbands kind of made this decision this year to get baptized, to make Jesus Lord, to get renovated. As I look up there, I see women that were headed for divorce. I see women that didn't want to forgive. I see women, you know, with all different types of backgrounds. But they allowed themselves and they trusted that God would renovate them. You know, the end parts of these episodes, you get to see these couples like so humbled that they get to live in these houses that have been renovated. They feel so honored. They're like, this, I get to live here? Like, this is amazing. And it's for the same thing with us. Like, are we not grateful for the fixer-uppers that we have become, right? Or would we love to have the opportunity to be fixed up like that? You know, we have an opportunity to do that if we would just make the most of it. You know, I just want to encourage us all to let God continue to renovate you for wherever you are in your process. Let him make your episode, okay? Let him write your love story. And then don't forget about the people along the way to bring along with you so that they can have their love stories too. So God be the glory. Love you guys.